Ladies and gentlemen, All About Reality coming to you for the final time in the calendar year of 2021. Matthew Goodwin, we are in two different places in life, in reality. I walked into a buzzsaw in the fantasy playoffs this year. Never experienced carnage on this level. Devastated all over the place. I had three top seeds, top point scorers going into the playoffs. All of them eliminated before in the semifinals or before. Just radical wild upsets in several places. It just is one of those times. And yet, I want to focus on the happy, focus on the good. I hope the holidays treated you and your family well. And I know in fantasy, you did not suffer an ignominious end such as I did. So let's focus on your teams. Let's get our GMs hyped up for their matchups. We'll look ahead to what is to come in these fantasy semifinals and finals. We'll go from there. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I apologize for some of the luck you had. I mean, I think like it was complete carnage for a lot of people, and just the decision-making process with all the COVID and injuries and stuff. It was just such a bloodbath like this past week, especially like you know, you're feeling good, got through a bye, like, hey, Travis Kelce, you look pretty good. Like, what, you know, on my bench, I'm ready for him to like dominate in the playoffs. This is why I go and bid a bunch on him in the auction, or I make a trade of a first round pick to put me over the top. And then, you know, he's out in, you know, the semifinals, and I think that tilted a lot of matchups. I mean, I know it did for you in the pod league where you narrowly lost to, you know, a good GM in Ashley. I think she's really smart, but that doesn't take the sting away nonetheless when you're feeling pretty, you know, frisky about like your chances of, you know, going back to back. So I understand that. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of skill involved in reality sports online, but at the same time, you know, the luck of somebody happening to be, you know, in front of a computer when they get the news that Austin Eckler's out and says on his own podcast, hey, bang Justin Jackson this week. And if, you know, someone in your league picks him up, scores, you know, a ton of points, wins that matchup. And now you have some interesting seeds maybe in the finals where, you know, the top two teams are, you know, watching from their couch. So that can be kind of rough. My thought with this podcast, I know we typically don't do start, sit and those things, and we're more focused on strategy stuff, but like there's just a lot of decisions, a lot of things, you know, up in the air. So I figured we'd talk through them. I personally am facing, you know, a bunch of them, I think, too. And you know, this is the time when you get this far, you kind of tend to overanalyze and what I could have done and what I need to do. And so you, really, whether it's a defense, a kicker, a tight end, anything, like I think you kind of have to be good that you followed the best process possible to win when, you know, flags fly forever. So
absolutely. We'll work through that process. I will attempt to pass on some of the goodness that did not come my way to other people. And we'll just exude out, use the force here and do that. I will, given, you know, sir, that my family background is super Irish, I will start our pod with a little story for you that is relevant to that. And I think everybody, all of our GMs will get a chuckle out of this, given some recent NFL news. But a long time ago, my younger brother, who is relatively famous for his fighting career, had a not so famous football career where he was a walk-on, and he walked onto this team. And as many walk-ons are, the head coach of said team did not know his name. And he like hustled, tried to do the Rudy thing, tried to get any playing time. And at one practice, at some point, like everybody's looking around, he's playing linebacker, and the coach is screaming, like at somebody, and my brother's just like doing his thing, trying to be paying attention. And the coach continues to scream at this other player. And my brother was like, that poor kid, man, that's rough. And finally, he's like, the coach just unleashes a string of expletives. And he's like, Murph, get the bleep, the bleep, the bleep, the bleep, Murphy, bleep, 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 Murphy. And Sean's like, man, I don't know who Murphy is, but I feel so bad for that kid right now. And finally, his position coach walks over to him and goes, he doesn't know your name is not Murphy. He's just yelling a random Irish name. You better get in there. And so all of my brother's football friends from that year call him Murph now, even though our name is not Murphy. It just happened to be a random Irish name. And ladies and gentlemen, it may come as no surprise to the rest of the world at this point, but that coach's name that was screaming at my brother before the Fiesta Bowl was one Urban Meyer in his University of Utah stint. So that story I thought would give you guys a little holiday chuckle along the way. So that's Urban Meyer screaming at my brother and giving him a nickname forever because he just can't tell one Irish dude apart.
But he was telling him to go in the game at the Fiesta Bowl though?
No. It was the practices prior. Like the other, you know, like my brother never got in the game for the Fiesta Bowl. And okay. that year I was actually spending my only Christmas prior to this one away from my family. I was all by myself in South Africa, my first year teaching at a university. And that game happened to be on the BBC. So a couple of my students there stayed up with me, God bless them, at like 3 a.m. And I was like, my little brother might get in this game, da, da, da. And he did not get in the game. But the funniest part was, so we never see him the whole game. But when they go to dump the Gatorade on Urban after the game, I'm like, there he is. And I see my little brother's last name because he was standing next to Urban, like just trying to be the good, like ready to go in coach, put me in coach. And so his face is doing the startled look back, eyes big in front of the camera as the Gatorade's coming for Urban. So like that was, I at least got to see my brother on an international event. I thought that was going to be his 15 minutes of fame. Little did I know that he would eventually parlay his mediocrity in football into excellence in broadcasting and in fighting. And so he's managed to sustain that fame for a good degree longer, but nonetheless.
That was the Alex Smith Utah team or?
It was. Yeah. No, I think it was Weddle actually. I think it was just after Alex Smith. I think that was the Eric Weddle team where he was doing like everything on offense and defense. He was like, it was crazy. So,
okay. And that was like that was post Steve Smith, I imagine. Right. Yeah. When I think of that, it just amazes me that Steve Smith and, Chad Johnson played, were both receivers at the same junior college at Santa Monica College. Can you imagine like playing JUCO and line up against those two dudes?
There are very few receivers that I'd be afraid to line up against, but I feel like you have like a 30% chance of getting punched in the throat when you line up against Steve Smith, right? Like,
yeah, he's that guy. For sure. So I'll tell a quick story actually about my younger, way less famous brother than you, unless you happen to be a club goer in the Dallas area and are familiar with him because he DJed for a while, but like he's not doing that anymore. He kind of has a regular job, but my brother DJed in the Dallas area for a long time and he happened to be so a lot of the Cowboys and other athletes in the area come out, you know, the Mavs, the Cowboys, etc. And my brother happened to be DJing night that happened to be Tony Romo's birthday party. And so my brother's in the booth and he's DJing and my brother's like, he's the type who like, there's some artistry there. Like he takes it very seriously. If he screws up, like he's critical of himself, even though other people probably don't have the ear to notice it. And so he, like, for instance, like you could offer, like I've been there when he's DJed and someone's offered him like $100 to play a song. And if he doesn't want to, he won't do it. So like Romo and his crew come to the booth and my brother's like, happy birthday or whatever. And Romo said, you know, they ask like, hey, you know, do you mind, like, hey, can you take a few pictures in the booth or whatever is birthday? My brother's like hesitantly, but oh, you sure? Okay. And then Romo asks if he could put on my brother's like, you know, headset and stuff. And my brother's like, okay, that's kind of weird, but like whatever. But he said, you know, my brother warns him. He says, hey, this is when he's still playing for the Cowboys. He says, hey, yeah, you can put it on, but it's, you know, I'm working. It's kind of sweaty, whatever. And Romo says, oh, no problem. Does it, takes some pictures. Then at the end, he like looks at my brother. He goes, man, these headphones are really sweaty. He's like, you know, what's going on? Like, complaining about it. My brother kind of turns around sarcastically. He's like, don't you wear a helmet for 4 hours every Sunday?
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
Anyways, story, you know, famous stories about our little brothers, but let's get to the fantasy side of things. And kind of, I mean, if we're going game by game here, like Giants Bears, I don't think like there's anything that's not self-explanatory there. You start David Montgomery. I think Barkley, like at this point, you have to be kind of almost desperate to be playing him. And you know, the Giants receivers are banged up. Like, you're really trusting Jake Fromm and Mike Glennon in your final. On Saturday news, the Jaguars and the Patriots, you know, fan favorite James Robinson tears his Achilles, out for the season. Hopefully, you know, the silver lining here may be what, you know, the fact that Cam Akers may be active soon, 5 months after his injury. So hopefully, you know, a quick recovery for James Robinson. Dario Ogunbowale is replacing him in a tough matchup against the Patriots, but the Patriots have in 2/3 of their games allowed 150 yards or more rushing. Are you starting Dare in your championship? Are you trusting him? Like, what kind of player would you be playing him over against the Patriots?
Yeah, so there's guys that are striking that we're going to come across, people like Sony Michel, Devin Singletary, and Rashad Penny that have vaulted into relevance for this run, right? Like, these are guys that, as you said, merit at least the same degree of confidence as Saquon Barkley, which is startling and sad at this point. Ogunbowale is one I do like. His little sister is a exceptional basketball player in her own right of Notre Dame fame. So like, that gives him a little bit of love in my mind. But yeah, I would start him over fringe wide receivers is what I would do, like, because I always lean running back. So I don't think that I would start him over any of those running backs that I just mentioned. So if you have one of those options, Singletary, Michelle, Rashad Penny, then they're obviously vaulted ahead of him. But but after that tier, sure. Yeah, by all means. Like, I would put him in as a flex.
I mean, he did have a huge portion of snap share. I mean, the team wasn't carrying any other real running backs then. And I guess Raekwon Armstead is off the practice squad. And I think they signed Sargent off the Rams practice squad. But Dare figures to have at least the snap share. I mean, also, let's talk about Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's thrown like only a handful of touchdowns this season. And I mean, I know it was rough with Herb, but like, I mean, that guy seemed like a can't miss prospect. And I know someone like Peyton Manning had a rough rookie season. And I mean, even someone like Zach Wilson, but at this point, you really hope that the Jaguars have some kind of, you know, plan in place and turn around to make Trevor Lawrence at least fantasy relevant at a certain point. Cause you're not touching him in the super flex this week. I don't think over, you know, if you had to choose between him and Nick Foles, I think you'd be starting Nick Foles at this point. So.
Yeah, you're right. I kind of, in a super flex outside the RSO format, I lucked into him a little bit in a first year in an FFPC league. He obviously was not so lucky along the way there. Having said that, I would ask you this at this point. Would you vault the other rookie running backs? And let's just look ahead as an RSO GM at this point. Are you trying to go get him right now? Because I think I am, as an RSO GM. I'm trying, especially in Superflex. I'm trying, but his value, I assume, will never be lower. This is the exact kind of player that I think is worthwhile writing down. Make your list, right, everybody? Like, make your list of players that you want to approach people about in the offseason, Trevor Lawrence being one of them. I think Justin Fields. I think like all these rookie quarterbacks that we were excited about, disappointed to some degree, with the exception of your guy Mac Jones. No.
Yeah, they did, and the question is, I mean, I guess I haven't done a ton of research, but all signs indicate that this isn't a very strong 22 draft class, at least at the quarterback position. So maybe you happily give up a draft pick where you're giving up an extra year of control of somebody to acquire one of last year's quarterbacks. That seems like at least more of a calculated play. Because I think the fantasy community is quick to draw their conclusions, but all you need as a GM who's speculating on upside is one game or one instance of something that catches your eye to warrant trading draft capital or taking a shot at someone like this. So, I mean, he certainly has the pedigree. Obviously there needs to be more talent there. When you turn it back to this week, I mean, Marvin Jones had 12 targets last week, so you're probably starting him as a fringe wide receiver. Laquan Treadwell has had pretty solid games of late as well. So, I mean, on the Patriots side, I know Ramondre Stevenson's back. I think you could start him as a flex guy. I think you're starting Damian Harris with supreme confidence this week against a team that, you know, gave up a ton of rushing yards against the Jets. And you're certainly firing up the Patriots as probably a top two defense this week.
Agreed on that. And I really like the dynamic here for ladies and gentlemen out there who are listening. We really do believe there's no offseason in RSO. So as someone who's been eliminated, I'm looking at these games with a very different rooting interest than Goody is. So he's going to walk you through players that are ideal to be starting for this week to go get you that championship. And I'll throw you some speculative plays like Trevor Lawrence and even some deeper plays along those lines to like go and think about guys who have been injured, think about guys who have been off the radar. But think about how excited we all were for the Jaguars at the beginning of this season, right? Like there was a lot of speculation that LaVisca was going to have his breakout and he was untouchable. You know, like if you were trying to go get him, you know, the fantasy community drove a lot of speculation on him and his price got pretty exorbitant there for a while. And there's just like so many good players that DJ Chark, you could go get, like, I think very cheaply at the moment, like with his contract expiring with the Jags, mm-hmm. right? He's going to end up somewhere new. Those are the kind of players that I think the best GMs have to turn their attention to if you've been eliminated from contention. But I think you're right.
And to be honest with you, those players, if you've been out of this for a couple of weeks, like nobody is going to be at your doorstep with fire and brimstone if you're picking up DJ Chark off of as a free agent in your league this week to speculate on maybe tagging and extending if that dynamic is cheap in your league, maybe you're early on in your life cycle or something else. I mean, there's not many. The tag is really your only off-season instrument to do anything with that right now, but it's something. Like, definitely scour. I mean, I wouldn't do it against, you know, plucking guys who may have some fantasy viability for people who are still in the playoffs. I mean, that's a little frustrating. Like, someone in my league just picked up a kicker and a defense. And, you know, and there's four teams still kind of who are in the money, and that's a little frustrating. But at the same time, week 17 is really the last chance you have at RSO until after the Super Bowl. So yeah. I understand how that works and that dynamic. So I think that's a good call on Chark. I mean, one other point I want to make, I guess, though, is, and we've seen it with different players at different times, but You may be, depending, if you're one of these people who can't get the requisite value, or you have a player who's a draft pick who hasn't performed, even if you're down to like almost the end of that contract, just think about guys like Devontae Parker and Rashad Penny, who now Rashad Penny's I assume he may even be beyond a rookie deal, or maybe he's in his last year of rookie deal in RSO leagues. I don't know, but I think in real life, like he's expiring, you know, he's a free agent from the Seahawks this year. And after this sample and Chris Carson being banged up, the Seahawks may have no choice but to bring this guy back on a contract. So, you know, I think that's something like, if you're like, oh, I'm not going to, I don't want to drop the guy. I can't get the value I want. Maybe holding on to these guys isn't the worst process going forward. I mean, sure, if you can get value that you're comfortable with, then, you know, it's certainly okay to give up on a guy. But I guess this is, in essence, maybe it's a Clyde Edwards-Helaire message, you know, or someone like that. We're 2 years into that. And Rashad Penny took four to pop, basically. Devontae Parker, almost the same. So Rams and Ravens. I expect Matthew Stafford to bounce back there. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's after some records. The Ravens secondary is more than porous. So I think you're starting all your Rams pass catchers there. Van Jefferson is kind of a fringe guy that I don't know that you want to risk if you have viable options. Higbee, I think, could be an okay play in the tight end landscape. We'll get to that in a little bit because there's some tight ends that I think have some more name cachet that are riskier plays, who are in some of the other games I'll mention. In terms of the Ravens, it looks like Lamar couldn't get much push off that ankle. I happen to think that, you know, they'll, assuming he's fine from COVID and comes off to the COVID list today, I'm guessing, I think Tyler Huntley's looked pretty solid. And I mean, I think Tyler Huntley is probably, you know, QB2 from a super flex perspective and maybe on the fringe of starting, depending on who your alternatives are. I don't think I'd start him over a guy like Kyler Murray, who has a tough matchup against the Cowboys, but I think you have to think about it given no DeAndre Hopkins. So at least that's part of your process there. Obviously Mark Andrews is cementing himself as the tight end one, I would say this week and maybe going forward in dynasty, you're firing him up with supreme confidence. Other than that, like Marquise Brown, I think missed practice today. Like Rashad Bateman got off to a quick start with 4 catches from Josh Johnson and nothing else really after that, 4 catches and a touchdown. And I don't think you really trust Sammy Watkins. So I think that's, you know, Sony Michel, I think you're trusting. I mean, you're not starting. Cam Akers is on your IR if you're an RSO, I would assume. So I think that kind of covers that game. I guess one question I personally face here, Luke, I'm going to ask this to you, and I just want like to think through this lens for other people in leagues with kickers. I have Justin Tucker as my fantasy kicker. I traded for him in the offseason, I don't even remember what it was. I think it ended up being like a second for Justin Tucker and Baker because I felt really good about my team and wanted to kind of signal some window dressing that I wasn't going after Aaron Rodgers in the auction, you know, et cetera, which nobody believed, but in hindsight. So Justin Tucker, premier kicker in the game, but somebody who's kind of been marginalized the last few weeks. And I was marginalized, I think, in two ways. One, you know, game script against the Bengals, they were getting boat raced. It wasn't really field goal time, it was touchdown time. So he had 3 extra points last week, no field goal attempts. The week prior against the Packers, the team went for 2 a couple times, and Harbaugh's gone for 2 with the game on the line sometimes, as opposed to going into overtime where you maybe kick the extra point and get a game-winning field goal in overtime with an asset like Tucker. So I guess my question is what quarterback has to be in the Ravens lineup for you to be confidently starting Tucker this week? You know, and who, like, what type of kickers would you be looking at in his stead if you're not confident in Huntley or Josh Johnson?
So I will say my concern for Justin Tucker is non-existent, and it's not dependent on the quarterback. So I don't look at it through the same process. I agree with you that some of those other factors, particularly the play calling, might concern me more. But I think that we get too far over our skis when we attempt to predict the game flow of a game. And any kicker on any given day can kick 3 or 4 field goals. I think what you need to do as a fantasy player is always pursue those field goal kickers that are going to deliver that when they get the opportunity. And I think there's no better, frankly, in the history of the game than Tucker. I really, I would not take him out. I would leave him in. And that's where I stand on him.
Okay. That's sound advice. It's certainly something I've been debating. And I think that, you know, in a game against the Rams, I did look, in case you're looking, because like this is the time when I get overly analytical and less from my gut and look at game logs and everything else. The Rams gave up 3 field goals to Greg Joseph and another 3 field goals to Matt Prater in the last few games. So keep that in mind. Baltimore weather seems to be decent. So like if you're kind of looking at a Justin Tucker, Tyler Bass conundrum. And I think that it sounds like Luke is still solid on Justin Tucker, and which is the reason why you make any type of trade if you're actually trading for a kicker, which I probably wouldn't advise most of the time. Like that's I did it for that certainty, you know, with a progressive pot on the line. Buccaneers, Jets. Okay, so the Bucs, Bruce Arians has COVID. I think Mike Evans just came off the abbreviated list. Still some injuries there. Godwin out for the season on the franchise tag. So be interesting to see what the team does with him in the offseason. I think the question is Bucs. I think you're certainly firing up their defense as a top couple play, even without some of their linemen. You know, with Shaq Barrett's got an injury, probably their best pass rusher, but Zach Wilson's shown enough turnover tendencies and seems like they'll get after it sack wise. Like the Bucs are good against the run. I mean, the Jets had a pretty solid week last week. Are you starting Michael Carter at either as a running back two or a flex this week with your championship on the line?
I suppose so. So for example, over a Gumbalawe, I would start him for sure. I think even over perhaps, yeah, I think I would put him up into that realm where I start him over people like Sony Michel, maybe. I don't know. Like
Would you start him over Boston Scott if no other Eagles running backs are available? If it's a Boston Scott and Gainwell?
Gosh, what can you say about those Eagles running back? They have. I'll give you this, Goody. I was so confident in a Miles Sanders turnaround. At one point, I traded away a future second for Miles Sanders in a RSO. My most RB depleted league, thinking I was going to extend him. And Miles Sanders, even after the craptastic performances of this season, was demanding 4 years, $20 million per year. And I was just not going to do that for Miles Sanders. So with that aside behind me, I do
good use think, of craptastic.
Buddy. Yeah. Yeah. What is happening? I just don't understand. Mm-hmm. But I do, I guess I trust the algorithm now more because the algorithm there did understand the desperate nature of the running back position in said league. Having said that, no, I would not start Boston Scott over him. I think Michael Carter has appreciably more pass catching chops than Boston Scott. He's just not used that way in the Eagles offense, which is weird. He could be.
Yeah, it's weird because Carter hasn't caught that many passes lately from Zach Wilson. Mike White was check down champion like for a while, but. So that's one thing that scares me a little bit about Carter, but it's still a.
Yeah, I just think, and again, as you said, though, right? I think Saleh and the offensive coordination for the Jets has to be away from running into the teeth of that defense, which will shut down a running back. You have to deploy them as a pass catcher. Carter certainly has demonstrated that ability from college and through the season when he's called upon that way. I hope they adapt. We assume rational coaching, and that's
right.
What we would go with.
Heck, Miles Gaskin has best game of the season against the Buccaneers in like a negative game script game. So.
Right, and you're burying the lead here. Finally, Keyshawn Vaughn went off for a 55-yard touchdown run. Did you see that? That is crazy.
I did. I thought of you when I saw that. I was like, oh my God, Luke's probably like banging his head against the wall right now.
that was what they, I believe they characterized that as insult to injury on a week when I was losing everywhere to watch that particular highlight. I was just like, I thought the divinity was having a good chuckle on my behalf last week as I languished with COVID. And, you know, I was on the IR, folks, COVID IR for a while there too. I mean, it was just crazy good. It was so fun. I mean, at this point, you saw my text. For a while there, I couldn't even engage in the group chats we were in because I was just sad.
No, I know.
But now I just think it's funny. So,
all right. So, okay, we have one more. I think fantasy relevant person to maybe two, depending on whether this guy plays, but. What are we doing with Elijah Moore this week? He's supposedly coming back off the IR. He got a limited practice today. He and Jameson Crowder were limited off to the side. I tweeted a video of him catching some stationary passes. He was wearing a mask or something to protect him from the cold or both, depending on how you view it. I mean, Elijah Moore in a pretty good spot, probably against this Bucs defense who has some injuries and some COVID. if he plays, like he was wide receiver two for like a month before this quad injury. Are you confident enough with him coming off an injury, or is this one of those things that you're like, I'm gonna sit him out. You know, for instance, me, like I'm weighing like a guy like Elijah Moore in one league against Mike Williams if he comes off the COVID list, or maybe James Conner, who's in a timeshare, a little banged up himself. I mean, guy like Justin Jackson too, but I can't imagine Justin Jackson's going to have enough share in that backfield to play. So to be fantasy relevant, unless Eckler's ankle or COVID kind of got him worse than we think.
Yeah, no, this is actually a good callback to the top of our show. Elijah Moore is the kind of wide receiver that I would start those fringe running backs over this week, right? Where you're just guaranteed a little volume from those guys, right? And I've been such a fan. I've been so happy for you watching Elijah Moore go off this year. Again, we both liked him, and the way that different drafts we were in played out, I was just never picking in that range at the end of the first, top of the second, where you nab him in so many places. I think he's the real deal. And I think he's something that you should hold dearly for UGMs that did draft him this year. For this week though, I do think I'm inclined to go for more safety and upside in a week where I just need to not post a zero. And he's 50-50 to play right now by his coach's own admission. That is a little bit tough to hear on a Thursday, right? So that's where I'm at with him.
Right, for sure. And I think that, I mean, the good news is that everybody's playing on Sundays this week. So some of this COVID stuff that happened, I mean, true story, last week, you and I talked behind the scenes. I went tubing with my kids, came back, was talking about Jeff Wilson. You told me to start him. And I don't know if it was a COVID thing or anything else. I didn't like the Titans matchup. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to start Jeff Wilson. I'm going to wait to hear about Connor's injury or start Justin Jackson. And like the ultimate thing that swung me in that direction was Austin Eckler himself on his podcast saying to start Justin Jackson this week. And so I went that there. So it was just really weird. Like it went from Jeff Wilson who fell into the end zone, but basically did what both of us predicted other than maybe falling into the end zone. On Debo Samuel getting tackled at the one on a big play before that. So basically like that was like the Thursday to Sunday piece. So didn't start Jeff Wilson, got me 21 points in that league. AJ Brown goes off on me, then I have Rodgers and Adams go off, whatever. Like, so like before the Green Bay Cleveland game on Saturday, I was at the position where like, okay, I'm definitely starting Justin Jackson in my one running back spot or whatever. Cook has COVID, I'm gonna start Madison instead of him. But then it was a decision between basically, am I gonna start Mike Williams or James Conner? And I was like, okay, I'm gonna start Mike Williams. Mike Williams gets COVID on COVID news on Saturday. Okay, I'm going to start James Conner. It sounds like he's going to play. James Conner out with a heel injury. Now, okay, Jeff Wilson would have been nice, right, at this point. But then it's like, okay, I'm starting AJ Green. I watched basically almost the whole game before AJ Green had one 33-yard catch, which in my league, it's like double the yardage. So that at least was worth 7.4 points for that one catch. But anyways, like that's what being a dynamic scoring league looks like. But that's what I think a lot of GMs had to deal with last week. And at least this week with the traditional Sunday, Monday slate, it becomes a little bit easier. So moving on, Falcons and Bills game. I think Bills are going to have most of their receivers back. I saw Manny Sanders had a setback or did not practice today. I mean, you're firing up Stephon Diggs with a lot of confidence. You're obviously Josh Allen. That stack looks really good. The only thing that potentially is scary there is you may have too much success and maybe those guys get pulled a little early. Devin Singletary has been a pretty solid running back lately, so you're thinking about him. You're certainly thinking about him, I guess, like in the vein of guys like, the Boston Scott. I'm definitely starting Singletary over like a guy like Rex Burkhead for sure, on matchup and everything else. I'm starting Singletary over the Titans running backs, I would think. Cordarrelle Patterson hasn't seen much pass volume, but you figure there's probably a better script there. So I think Russell Gage are starters. You've been starting Kyle Pitts. Beasley hasn't been great. I mean, Gabe Davis, Are you starting Gabe Davis a little risky this week? He's had a bunch of touchdowns before he missed with COVID. Are you gonna fire up Gabe Davis this week as a potential flex or upside play?
Maybe so. So for example, just because of the health of the player, I would start him over Elijah Moore, for example, this week. I do think you omitted, I think Dawson Knox is a guy that I much prefer in the game, right? I think he's had a good run, and he at the start of our season,
tight end,
right. At the start of our season, he was one that I pointed people to in the off season. Got him right. Got what I tell you, I got our boy over on the Giants really wrong, right? As far as my tight end advice, I was 50-50 on those two. I think the process was better for Dawson Knox. I really appreciate rising tight ends that seem to have an affinity with their quarterback that are attached to a high scoring offense. So that's what I would say there. And I think Gabe Davis is fine, but again, right, I think talking through with someone you trust as a GM, like we talked through Jeff Wilson rather last week and pretty much nailed it. Like we both had a similar, we both came to like, look, I think he'll get around 60, 70 yards. And it's either a question of whether or not he gets the touchdown or not. And I said, based on health, that I would start him just because of how crazy the week was going. Conversely, my preference for healthy players cost me when I started like Cedric Wilson over Adam Thielen in a league, and it cost me moving on to the championship, right? Like that it happens both ways, but that's just how it played out that particular week.
Well,
right?
In your defense, I mean, 16 team league, there's nothing on the wire. I mean, I even did a cursory look for you before that Sunday night game just to be like, hey, is there anyone worth entertaining? And
then it's
really slim picking. So like even that Cedric Wilson was someone who was, you know, like a tertiary at best option in the offense, Dallas offense. So
GMs, right? Like that, by the way, that's a top seed that was averaging over 200 points a week. I feel your pain out there, guys. Like that came because of the late breaking Kelsey news and cost me the championship. Like that, I was starting.
Yeah, to right. That. Yeah. For sure. No doubt. Okay, Chiefs and Bengals, I think one of the highest scoring lines of the week. I think people are kind of looking at what Joe Burrow did to the Ravens defense last week. Another home game for the Bengals. Fit a little bit of weather this week. I think, you know, you got Kelsey back. You're just slating him back in. Like, at this point, you don't have a better option anyway. Like, someone like receiver, maybe, like, you saw what happened. Like, Tyreek Hill was definitely winded and talked about how that was – COVID was rough on him. And you know, they probably didn't need him after getting out to a big lead against the Steelers. So that was probably another factor there. But someone like Kelsey, I really don't think you have another viable alternative. You're certainly playing him, Mahomes. You know, I know Byron Pringle had a good week last week, but I wouldn't be starting him unless you're in a super deep league. I'm starting Darrell Williams in my league with the Progressive Pot as a flex option with a lot of confidence. I think they'll be cemented. CH missed practice again today. I think they'll probably declare him out tomorrow. So I'm starting him with confidence. Derek Gore, I think if you're in a 14 or more team league, maybe you're considering him depending on what your alternatives are, but probably not. I mean, you're firing up at least the top two receivers for the Bengals. I think CJ Uzoma is probably a fringe guy that you're leaving on your bench. I mean, if you're in one of these decisions, like I see a lot of Burrow versus Rodgers questions, and I have that decision in my league, but I'm going with the vet here. I know Burrow had a really good game, and I think the question about Rodgers is really just the sub-zero potential temperatures for Rodgers and Kirk and how they've performed. But I think that, you know, you kind of at that point you go with who got you there. But Burrow, man, I think the future is super bright for him. I mean, the Chiefs defense has been really good, but probably sitting him out too. I guess the fringy guy here is probably Tyler Boyd, who's been pretty solid the last couple of weeks, but is you know, the third option on the Bengals offense. I mean, you're starting to mix it with confidence. So what are we thinking about Tyler Boyd this week?
Yeah, I think with a hat tip to RotoViz, I've always had an affection for Tyler Boyd, and that was because of that service and the kind of work that they put on him before pre-draft. And I think he actually has really found and come into his own in an ideal spot. I think in a game where he's going to have to throw a lot, Joe Burrow, I think this is this is the exact kind of game you want Tyler Boyd going. He's going to get more targets than usual. His target share will bump up. And as we saw last week, if one of those breaks free, then he's going to be getting that. He's going to have the defense paying the least attention to him with Higgins and Chase out there. So yeah, I'm fine with starting. I just knowing the carnage that has happened. If you have a healthy Tyler Boyd, you're probably starting him in this week, which is crazy to say, but I would imagine so.
Yeah. And I like personal hatred for Rodgers aside, or would you be starting Burrow over him?
Yeah. So my only inclination, I think actually what you pointed to is it would be my fear for him. It is a division rivalry in the black and blue division. And for whatever reason, it's just, this is the most, this is Aaron Rodgers is kind of this weird fulcrum for everything that I find fascinating about fantasy and reality football. Cause when they play the Vikings, it's either going to be like a low scoring, they're just going to destroy Aaron Rodgers or he's going to destroy them. There's never anything in between, right? Like he either smokes them really quickly or they really get in his head and like hurt him and just really like most division games, right? Like you see this happen all over the place. Like for example, what the Bengals did to Pittsburgh, you know, like this is just one thing or the other. So I myself am inclined to grow Burrow because of the weather and the familiarity in the NFC North between the opponents. But I could see why you would go Rodgers because the Vikings don't have a heck of a lot to play for. I know they are technically not mathematically eliminated yet, but that was another kind of just kick in the gut last week of just watching them like functionally get eliminated from playoff contention. So,
right.
I mean, Rodgers has seemingly kind of hit his groove and he's peacocking a little bit. I think that's the Rodgers you want playing quarterback for you. I think he's at his best.
He has been QB1 so far. So
yeah,
down the stretch, and Davante Adams and MVS have been pretty good against the Vikings defense. So
yeah. The Vikings don't have anybody that can cover Davante Adams right now. I'll tell you that. Like they just don't.
Right. Yeah. Like you're certainly probably leaving a fringy guy like Alan Lazard on the bench. But I mean, it does position for a large, you know, bounce back game for Dalvin Cook, it seems, though.
Yeah. Are you starting both Green Bay running backs? You have to, right? Like, I mean,
I like Dylan, honestly, more than Jones a little bit in this, but I think you probably have to.
And is Jones, for RSO purposes, has he become the guy that a lot of people were giving a big contract to? That is going to be really regrettable this offseason. Do you think he's going to become more and more marginalized?
Potentially. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers leaves, I think maybe, yeah. I mean, Green Bay, or Nick Whalen, who came on our pod way back when, like he pointed to Green Bay's cap next year, and it looks bad. Like to get Davante Adams back, if Rodgers comes back, is there's a lot. I mean, teams like the Saints have done it, the gymnastics before, but it's going to be – that's going to be interesting. So like, let's speed up here a little bit because I'm talking too much. I think on these games, we got a lot to cover still. Dolphins, Titans. I'll say this about the Dolphins. Like I know I've advocated for Mike Gesicki in the past. I'm looking out. I have him. I have Darren Waller out now with COVID and this injury. It's really frustrating about Darren Waller actually. Cause like you, all signs point to him coming back and that Colts matchup is super tasty. They're really bad against tight ends. So I'm at the point where I'm looking at potentially starting Foster Moreau over Mike Gesicki in spite of Fantasy Pros or anything else's rankings. The only guy I'm trusting on the Dolphins this week is Jalen Waddle. On the Titans, the only guy I'm really trusting confidently is DJ Brown. I mean, maybe you fire up those defenses if you're in a league. I think those could both be decent plays. Do you anything else to add on that, or are we good to hop to another one?
We're good to go, though. I would also ask people to consider where they're putting AJ Brown in their offseason ranks. Really think about that. He's been frustrated a lot of owners. He had a really high-profile good week this past week, so he might have engendered some confidence again, but he was on a lot of people's benches, so he might have just frustrated GMs that paid him, so he might be another offseason target. But yeah, I'm with you on the game.
Yeah, so okay, now moving on, Let's see. We got the Raiders and Colts, just kind of mentioned it. Foster Moreau is a guy I think I, you know, if Waller's out, which it sounds like he is, I, you know, and if he hasn't practiced, we'll just assume he's going to be out, even if he gets off the COVID list. I think I'm firing up Moreau in a good matchup because the tight end position is just really unreliable. I think I like him more than a guy like a Noah Fant, for instance. I mean, Hockenson's out for the season. It's just bloody there. So you want, you know, there's a few guys you trust: Gronk, Kelsey, Andrews. You know, so that's about it. Otherwise, you're trusting, I guess, Hunter Renfrow, and then the Colts. Who knows if Wentz will be back? I think there's a little bit of confidence in this guy from Texas. If he does play quarterback, but you have to be in a pretty deep league to be playing him at a super flex position. I don't think you're starting Wentz anyways. I guess the other question, Michael Pittman, I think you got to start him probably anyways. So it seems like and then JT, you're certainly starting as a smash guy with some linemen coming back with or without Wentz. So I would definitely start the Colts defense if you have them.
Yeah, if you are desperate in a 2QB league, this is one of those players too, right? Where if it's a seasonal format, a dynasty format that allows you to pick up quarterbacks, picking up Sam Ehlinger is not a bad idea in a 2QB league, like in case he performs in a spot here where he's going to have a lot of eyes on him. He's a kid who lost his brother earlier this year. He's one of those players that's earlier easy to root for, I think. And so he's just one of those guys. Like, I could see him having one of those magical stories and hope that he does well if he's getting put in that position, right? We're rooting for him. So.
For sure. Okay, so Eagles and Washington football team. Washington football team, even if you have Antonio Gibson, I don't even know you can play him this week. I mean, that was a complete debacle on Sunday night. I don't think he practiced today. Jared Patterson could be an interesting ad if you're desperate. The Eagles, I think, are going to, you know, Boston Scott's a fringy guy. I think you like Jalen Hurts. If you have Devontae Smith, you may, you know, maybe playing him as well. And Dallas Goedert, even though he has a name, he's another guy like Kosicki that you just worry about, like, are you going to trust this guy? But you probably don't have a better option. I mean, you're definitely playing the Eagles defense. I'm not playing Terry McLaurin this week if I had him on matchup against Darius Slay, and it's just been rough with that quarterback room. So, is there a receiver you would be playing instead of McLaurin, like a for instance? I mean, I think I'd start KJ Osborne over McLaurin, honestly.
See, I would not. But again, this comes down to our age old, right? Like, I think McLaurin's fine. I don't think Heinicke is as bad as he looked the other day. They're an ill-suited pair, though. Heinicke is a gutty quarterback that just doesn't have the arm to get it to all the three areas of the field that McLaurin wins. That's the problem, mm-hmm. right? It's been the problem all year. And Osborne in that sub-zero temperature, there's just going to be fewer targets to go around. Like, Zimmer's just going to run the ball, as you said, over and over and over again with the running backs, right?
Even that's true. He did it against Chicago too. Yeah, so it's going to be Jefferson and Cook, basically. Yeah.
Yep. So that's the fear there. McLaurin, right, can still command 6 or 7 targets and get a touchdown. So that, I think, for most leagues, that's what you want out of your wide receiver. So,
right. Maybe a guy like Michael Pittman, I would be starting over McLaurin.
Sure. Even with Ehlinger, though, would you? Like, if it's him instead of Carson?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. Broncos-Chargers. Broncos are going to look to establish the run early and often against Chargers, who are super porous against it, let Rex Burkhead run wild on them. What a shit show from the Chargers last week. You know, pardon my French, but including like Keenan Allen. I mean, I know it was one thing, like Justin Jackson went nuts and Herbert had a decent fantasy game, but Keenan Allen really let GMs down. So if you're in the championship in spite of Keenan Allen, you hope he bounces back. And Denver defense is pretty solid. I mean, I don't trust any of the Denver offensive weapons other than the running backs in this matchup. And, you know, you're certainly playing Eckler, you're playing Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is, you know, it really depends who you have. Tweet me with questions. We'll try to help you out there if Mike Williams comes off the list and is active for the game. But Anything else on that one?
No, though I think in two QB leagues, the question about what to do with Teddy has always been a question, right? Like I started Baker over him last week because I didn't know he'd be healthy, and that was another thing that cost me that. Like any number of decisions that I made could have cost me and did cost me that round. So I do think Baker's been putting up numbers for you GMs that suffered through Jerry Jeudy's donut in their quarterfinal matchup. I'm right there alongside you. The one league that I was happy to have him, Jerry Jeudy, just talk about another disappointment this season. Like he's another guy that we all see the routes that he can run though. We saw Tim Patrick get paid. We saw Cortland Sutton get paid. I don't know that the Broncos like him as much as fantasy analysts do. And that's really right. What we're come down to. Well, there might be something mental there. So
there could be, it could be a QB thing. I don't know. They have to figure out the QB situation next year for sure. Texans and 49ers. I like the grit I'm seeing from the Texans. I saw some interesting tweets about Davis Mills as being kind of a nice bridge quarterback that maybe doesn't force the Texans to go for a quarterback this offseason. If they get a bunch of assets for Deshaun Watson, maybe some of those assets aren't first this year, but rather next year. Brandon Cooks, I think, is back off the COVID list. Nico Collins has been solid. Chris Conley had a good game. The problem is the matchup against the 49ers defense, and the 49ers defense is really solid. I mean, you're certainly playing Debo Samuel confidently. Trey Lance, interesting, like whether you have the guts to tote him out if he's starting this week or not. I mean, the other question is really like Elijah Mitchell potentially coming back from a knee injury, whether you're starting him confidently, whether you think they'll share with Jeff Wilson Jr., or whether both guys have enough room to feast. So are you looking at those 49ers running backs as flex options this week? What about like and Brandon Ayuk? Like what are you doing with, I guess, those three guys? You start with Eli Mitchell because he's, you know, probably the most fantasy enticing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what they are, right? They're either, I mean, Eli Mitchell may be able to force the conversation as an RB2, but all of them are flexible worthy plays with the way that San Francisco has been playing. Ayuk, I think, has steadied himself and has been producing double digit fantasy points for weeks now. So he's like he's not the star that we hoped, but he's actually kind of a very viable, steady producer now, oddly, which is what you would not expect. And then Debo, of course, God bless anybody that made that call at the beginning of the year. I'm really impressed with how he's played out this season.
Yeah, so that one should be interesting. Lions Seahawks won't spend a bunch of time. Russ typically peters off at the end of the season. He threw a couple touchdowns last week. Lions favorable matchup. Seahawks defense probably one if you're in a pinch that you may have to play this week, especially against like Tim Boyle. If DeAndre Swift is back, I think you're playing against Seahawks defense. Certainly starting Rashad Penny. DK Metcalf has fallen from grace, but has a really nice matchup. Interesting. One of my friends sent me a tweet from Michael Sean Duggar, who covers the Seahawks here in Seattle for The Athletic, and basically said Tyler Lockett described his battle with COVID, said he was very exhausted, could barely move, chest hurting, throat hurting, anxiety, vomiting, had no energy, barely eating, says he lost 8 pounds, also had some breathing issues. This wasn't fun at all. I think Lockett played last week, but like this is just to say that like it's not a guarantee that just because someone comes off the COVID list that they're going to come and ball out. So just something to monitor with a guy like Lockett or anyone else, I guess. But I think you're firing up Penny. I think Gerald Everett's been kind of one of those guys who scored a touchdown every odd or every even numbered week. So he scored last week's. But I mean, he's certainly seeing more looks of late. I don't know if he'll score a touchdown this week, but I'm forced to start him in the Writers League in the final because tight ends have been kind of plucked up otherwise. So for better or worse, I think, you know, going with him. Any other peripheral thoughts other than, you know, Rashad Penny all of a sudden being a smash start?
No, that's exciting stuff. He's a player I liked and drafted, and it's fun to see. It's kind of like an old Christmas toy that you got years ago and didn't ever play with a lot. Now it's coming around, but that's what's happening for owners that have really committed and GMs that have really committed to Rashad Penny. But yeah, I think you described that one well for sure.
Yeah. All right, we got four games left. We'll go pretty quickly. You got Cardinals and Cowboys, which seemed to be a marquee matchup, you know, up until a couple weeks ago, that Cowboys D playing with a lot of swag. Kyler Murray without his top weapon in DeAndre Hopkins. James Conner did practice today, kind of a fringy flex. Seems like Edmonds is the better side of that share, especially if they're chasing game script right now. Not sure if you maybe can trust AJ Green as a flex. You're certainly firing up Zach Ertz. Cowboys seems like all their offensive options are potentially in play, including Tony Pollard. I wouldn't start their defense, been struggling. Do you have any nuggets on that game that you think are interesting to anybody else? Rondale Moore practiced today, maybe back. It's not really seeing much in terms of depth of target or, you know, running role.
I think the only thing I would say is that the Cowboys do look like a team that can score at will at this point. And any Cowboy is worthy of consideration, including fourth and fifth wide receivers on their team in flex positions.
Yeah. Okay. Panthers Saints. Sam Darnold back at the helm. I'm starting the Saints defense in that game if I have that option. DJ Moore, like with Darnold, maybe better for him. Robbie Anderson, same thing. Not much about that Saints offense I like. I mean, I think Taysom Hill is back. Hopefully, you get a bounce back game from Kamara if you weather last week's game. I don't really think there's a ton else to say there.
Yeah, Kamara and Taysom are quite good and are excellent plays, I think, frankly, like insofar as they both offer, I mean, sorry, Taysom offers the rushing upside that you want to score you fantasy points. This is not, we're not breaking any ground here, but I think he is actually, I start him with a little more confidence than you sounded like there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. And then two games that we're vastly familiar with, the Sunday night game, Vikings-Packers. Cold temps. I think we've already talked about that a bit. We expect heavy dose of Dalvin Cook. Like, is Alexander Mattison flex worthy in this game? I guess is an operative question given that Cook's coming back from COVID.
He is flex worthy for sure. And if you're in a total desperation mode at running back, take a look at Kenny Nwangwo. He's been really good, and I would probably start him over over KJ Osborne, for example, in a flex position of this week, just because of the temperatures.
But you're not concerned, like, I feel like when Cook's come back this year from injury, Madison's role has diminished significantly. Do you think that's different this week in any way?
I don't. I still am concerned about Cook's health, though, and especially in a cold game, the guy can't stay healthy. He's already banged up at the end of the year. I think they're gonna either run him until he gets hurt, or they're going to have to play smart and give some other guys some carries, which they have been. They've been giving a series here and there to Wongwu and Madison.
Okay, so you're talking the shoulder and the COVID.
Yep.
Okay, and then Green Bay, I think you're certainly starting Devontae Adams anyways. You're likely starting Rodgers. Everyone else is probably a little bit of a risky play at this point, but Packers.
You mentioned MBS though. I think MBS has come into his own. He's a clear number two.
Yeah, is potential deep threat. He's coming off the COVID list. Alan Lazard has played pretty well. Oh, you're starting the Green Bay running backs, I think, in this. I think you have a better chance of them falling into end zone than, you know, in a game where it'd be warmer. Browns and Steelers, Ben's last home game, and let's cement that. Let's hope it's his last home game. And I hope he goes home unhappy like the last time the Browns played in Pittsburgh. I think, you know, the Steelers cannot stop the run. The Browns, stubbornly don't run enough. I think that this is going to be a big, big Nick Chubb game. We're not sure about Kareem Hunt yet and his health, whether he's going to, he's off the COVID list, whether he's going to return from an ankle injury. To me, you know, Deontay Johnson, like, I think will play well against the Browns. Brown defense has been somewhat stingy other than when Baker's turned the ball over. Right? I think the big question in this game is Baker and whether you're starting him in a super flex league. I'm debating, like, in Writers League Championship, like, if Huntley comes back against the Rams, it's either Baker or Huntley for me, and that's a coin flip right now. I mean, I really, in my heart of hearts, I really want to start Baker And I'm getting to the point, though, as a Browns fan with him, and I've read enough, I've seen the analytics, that it just the smell test, injured or not, of what he does in the fourth quarter, you know, he hasn't come back and had signature wins. And, you know, and I mean, the only ones I can really remember were the two games last year. One they won, one they didn't. One against Cincinnati where he scored in the last 20 seconds or something, hit Peoples Jones, and they came back and won in Cincinnati. Lost to the Ravens on Monday night, but that was basically Lamar coming out of the bathroom and engineering a drive after Baker had already, you know, come from behind. They took the lead. So that's the thing. I just don't know that. I think it, you know, his footwork's gotten bad with this injury and everything else, and he's so much better when he's rolling out, and it just seems like he's sailing balls high and a lot of turnovers. But you know, I don't know from a fantasy perspective what I'm doing with that. I mean I think Jarvis Landry is probably a fringe play this week. I think if Freiermuth is back from his concussion, you're starting him. I think he had a touchdown against the Browns in Cleveland. So anything on me, and Najee Harris here, obviously certainly playing, but that's a volume based play versus like what he hasn't been very efficient. What do you think?
I think I'm still a Baker believer, but I would be starting Huntley this week if given an option between the two. I think I also would be starting Jarvis Landry with some confidence. Donovan Peoples-Jones would be a deep flex type guy for me. Like he's someone that he just looks good. Speedy and passing the smell test. When I've watched those games, he just looks like an NFL.
Yeah, he's got a lot of drops actually. So
I don't mind drops. I'm totally of the camp that drops are an overrated.
Yeah, and I think they have some stuff to work with. I think Baker's capable of throwing the deep ball, but I think with the shoulder and the mechanics, it gets a little tougher where that lands.
To this point, though, I think you do fine for the week. I will say this is where you want to play if you're an RSO GM in the offseason. I think it's not going to get worse for Steeler wide receivers. So you're gonna go speculate on those guys. It'll be cool to see where they end up and who ends up quarterbacking them. I think I'm buying Steeler wide receivers. And I think I'm selling Najee for as much as I can get right now. He has been a volume-based play. He has been great in his own right in terms of volume in a league. But again, I don't know that after we've all the carnage at running back this year, I don't know that I'm confident in the capacity of a running back to sustain.
I mean, you have to think that offensive line is a priority, especially if it's down quarterback class. But it really depends what the Steelers can get as a signal caller this year. So. Okay, we haven't done that before, but like we've gone through all the games. Best of luck. Tweet us with any other remaining lingering questions you have. You can find me on Twitter at MattGoody2, and
you'll find me weeping at fantasy.ock. Good luck to all you GMs out there as you move forward, buddy. Good luck to you. I hope you take down your progressive pot. And we'll come back in the new year on the flip side with what we see from everybody. So this has been another episode of All About Reality.
Happy 2022.